Welcome to Legal Toolkit, bringing you the latest legal trends and business initiatives to help you manage your law firm with your host, Jared Correa. You're listening to Legal Talk Network.
Welcome to another episode of the award-winning Legal Toolkit podcast here on the Legal Talk Network. That's right, we have not been canceled yet. If you were looking for Atlanta Braves super rookie Austin Riley, you won't find him on my fantasy baseball team, sadly. But I do have Ronald Acuna, Dansby Swanson, and I know I have a 1987 Rick Mahler Topps card hanging out here somewhere. In any event, if you're a returning listener, welcome back. If you're a first-time listener, hopefully you'll become a long-time listener. And if your second toe is longer than your big toe, you have what's known as Morton's foot, which was once viewed as a sign of royalty. So how about that? As always, I'm your show host, Jared Correa, and in addition to casting this pod, I am the CEO of Red Cave Law Firm Consulting, which offers subscription-based law practice management consulting services for law firms, bar associations, and legal vendors. Check us out at redcavelegal.com. I'm also the COO of Gideon Software, Inc., which offers chatbots, the first-to-market chatbot builder, and predictive analytics created specifically for law firms. Find out more at www.gideon.legal. You can also listen to my other podcast, The Lobby List, a family travel show I host with my dear wife, Jessica, on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and comment, and see all the places we go. But here on the Legal Toolkit, we provide you twice each month now with a new tool to add to your own legal toolkit so that your practices will become more and more like best practices. In this episode, we're going to talk about centralizing your digital workspaces, a topic near and dear to my own heart. But before I introduce today's guest, let's take a moment to thank our sponsors, without whom you would not be listening to a podcast right now. Let's welcome in our new sponsor, Abby Connect, which has delivered premium live receptionist and answering services to lawyers since 2006. You can try them out for free at abbyconnect.com. Scorpion crushes the standard for law firm online marketing with proven campaign strategies to get attorneys better cases from the internet. Partner with Scorpion to get an award-winning website and ROI-positive marketing programs today. Visit scorpionlegal.com/podcast. Nexa, formerly known as Answer One, is a leading virtual receptionist and answering service provider for law firms. Learn more by giving them a call at 800-267-9371 or online at www.nexa.com. TimeSolve is the number one web-based time and billing software for lawyers, providing solutions since 1999. TimeSolve provides the most comprehensive billing features for law firms big and small. www.timesolve.com. My guest today is Dan Houck, who is the Vice President of Product and User Experience for NetDocuments. He's the former founder and CEO of ThreadKM. ThreadKM was acquired by NetDocuments in 2017. Dan is a recovering attorney, serial entrepreneur, and legal tech product innovator, all things I like. Dan was a former practicing attorney as well. So Dan, welcome to the big show, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So you're a political science graduate from Emory University.
Yes.
I have a quick quiz for you.
Uh-oh.
Who's the best president from Georgia?
Well, we've had one president from Georgia, President Jimmy Carter. And, you know, he only served one term. So, you know, it's an open field for the Democrats. So he could hop in again, I think.
That's true. He's only, what, like 96? I'm sure he'd be good. All right, good. You picked up on my trick question there. I'm very impressed, sir.
Yes.
You know your civics. All right. Shall we talk about legal stuff? I think
sure.
We should. Our sponsors will want us to do that. So
we can do that then.
Lawyers fear change, right? Can you agree with me on that? That's like a thing for lawyers.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Almost
a lot of lawyers do, not everybody. There's some risk aversion there, yeah.
That's how I know you're a former practicing attorney. You qualified your answer. Okay. Some lawyers fear change, many. So I think it makes it hard to be like a traditionalist lawyer in the modern world, right? Everything's changing so fast. Mm-hmm. They don't really necessarily have a good handle on technology. So let's start here. Can you walk the people listening to this show what a modern law firm workspace looks like? Is it entirely virtual? Is it partially virtual? And what does it mean to be digital versus just say virtual?
Mm. Yeah, so that's interesting. So I kind of think about when I started practicing, which was in 2007. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I, that was kind of a really starting to be a transitional period as firms were thinking about what their digital workplace strategy, digital document management strategy was going to look like. And I remember I would have those Redwells that were, you know, kind of in your different filing areas, and that would be the file. And you know, I never understood why there were like two, it was like the two-hole punch on top, and you kind of put files in through that. And people are probably listening and saying, you know, there's a very good reason for it, and they know, but I didn't.
And they probably do and are.
Yes. Yeah. Well, as I didn't get it, I ended up wanting to just scan my own stuff and really just get digital first copies of everything. And, you know, and so I ended up building out kind of, you know, my own file system. And I think as firms started to see that and started thinking about how do they do information governance, how do they really manage records in an appropriate way, then it, you know, they had to think about, well, what does this digital workspace look like? Where can we put all of the information together that our attorneys are working on, that our legal teams are working on? And then ultimately do not only, you know, kind of information governance and all the things around that, but then start to do more productivity facing things so that we're all working out of the same place, we're all accessing the same documents, but then we can start to apply some intelligence around that corpus of documents, right? So you can start to reason over it with predictions and analytics and artificial intelligence and all of those things. So it's been a long road, but I think many firms are there, if not all the way there. And so, yeah, working in this kind of digital workspace is I think a much more natural thing. And now the paper is kind of like that ancillary copy that people will work out of for a little bit of time and then kind of toss it in the trash because it's not the real record.
Yeah. And so this is an interesting concept as well, because I think some of this stuff you're talking about goes like far afield for attorneys. So mm-hmm. I think they understand the notion of like what a virtual workspace is. I think they have an idea that paper copies somehow become digital copies. Like, what kind of applications, like practical applications, are you seeing right now or that are on the horizon in terms of analytics and machine learning and virtual workspaces?
Yeah, sure. So different things, different applications, depending on, you know, who's coming at it. But ultimately, you know, if you can start to understand, like, if you're a big firm and you can understand, well, who are kind of the most active users in our platform? Who are the people who are generating, you know, the most documents in a particular matter or practice area, then that can start to tell you things about who has expertise in certain areas, for example. Or if you can use extraction technology through search to be able to pull out concepts, now when a user is looking for something, they don't necessarily have to have a keyword hit, but they can really hit on a legal concept. And you, so you start to see that in some of the research tools that people use, but being able to bring that down into the workspace and to be able to find things of like, oh, this is really the concept that I was looking for, or these are the people who were extracted out and that now I can filter in on, or the companies that I can filter in on. Now that becomes very practical and tangible to end users who are just trying to get work done.
Yeah, given that the data is now, generally speaking, in one place or integrated across places, and we'll talk about that concept as well, seems to me that using data and analytics is probably like the next big step in terms of like what law firms can get out of these digital workspaces. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, it goes to, you know, understanding the kind of content within the document. So we're kind of taking that next step and saying, this isn't just file storage. This isn't, you know, just a place to access and do, you know, the save read type of scenarios, but, you know, we can understand the content. And for instance, we can understand that, wow, there's a social security number or other kind of personally identifiable information in this. And maybe we're going to automatically treat this document differently than we would another document in this workspace that doesn't have that kind of information. And that's really being driven a lot by the clients of the law firms who want to have that additional layer. You know, they're giving all their documents, you know, they're asking the firms to store and protect it. And so they want those firms to apply the same, you know, level of protection, you know, that they're doing in, inside their own corporations and so forth.
Yeah, and that's a concept we'll address as well. We're going to talk a little bit about data security as well. So we're off to a good start here. We're off to the races. We're working on definitions of virtual workspaces, but my workspace is getting a little crowded here. So let's take a break and hear some words from our sponsors. Your legal work requires your full attention. So how can you build lasting relationships with new or existing clients while juggling your caseload? try Abby Connect, the friendly, highly trained, and motivated live receptionists who are well known for providing consistent quality customer service and support to law firms just like yours. Every connection matters. So call Abby Connect today at 833-ABBY-WOW to get started with your free 14-day trial and $95 off your first bill. Do you feel like your marketing efforts aren't getting you the high-value cases your firm deserves? For over 15 years, Scorpion has helped thousands of law firms just like yours to attract new cases and to grow their practices. As a Google Premier Partner and winner of Google's Platform Innovator Award, Scorpion has the right resources and technology to aggressively market your law firm and to generate better cases from the internet. For more information, visit scorpionlegal.com/podcast today. Thanks for staying. Now that I've reloaded my speed buggy Pez dispenser, let's return to our conversation with Dan Houck of Net Documents. We're here talking about digital workspaces, and we've just talked about what they mean. So let's get back to it and drive down to like some of the benefits of virtual workspaces. So Dan, I thought you gave a great definition of like what digital workspaces are, what they're going to become. Now, can you speak a little bit more generally about the benefits of digital workspaces for attorneys who might be skeptical at this point?
Absolutely. So it's really about pulling all those different activities and information together into one place. And I've talked a bit about documents, but as you start to build new workflows around the generation of those documents, I think the workspace really starts to encompass more than that. It starts to encompass how we communicate around the matter. So, you're wanting to store in your different pieces of email, messaging, also how you are organizing your tasks so that you can start to have visualization into what are the things that I'm doing that are associated with it. And all of these things, that really helps compile what this digital workspace is. And what it means from a benefit standpoint is that you can easily go to one place and actually have everything available to you. So you can have your conversations, you can have your documents, your tasks, you can take a deep look at things, but you can also, and this really is important from an integration standpoint, you can point other systems to that specific location, to that workspace, and be able to perform the things that you want to do there. It may be as easy as connecting it to an e-signature solution or to one of these AI tools that's doing some of this intelligence over that set of documents. And you have to build that central repository in order to be able to point these powerful tools and get the benefits that you want out of it.
Yeah, right. You need a source of truth. You need
source of truth,
a place to play where you're not opening and closing a million different windows. And I think attorneys at this point kind of know that like the way a lot of systems are going is it's a platform and then you integrate other products on top of that. So let's talk a little bit about that because I think that's really important. So one specific benefit of digital workspaces, which you referenced, is this ability to like push information into them, aggregate data, but also to allow people to come in and access that data, like verified people within the organization or colleagues or clients. So how do digital workspaces then specifically support collaboration within the law firm environment?
Sure. I think it's always scary to kind of take an email and attach a document to it, and then it kind of gets sent off into the ether, right?
Right. Yes.
And you lose control at that moment, and we all have stories about the forward that went in the wrong direction or the reply all that shouldn't have happened, and that's just a function of email. And when you start adding the attachments to it, now you are really introducing some serious risk. And one of the benefits of having a digital workspace is that you can control the opening and closing of that door and who gets in and out. So you can determine a set of documents, a subset that maybe you want to share with external users. And those external users are credentialed users that you have authorized. And you can also set permissions around the types of things that they're allowed to do. Maybe they're just allowed to look at a document. Or maybe you say, I want their feedback, so I want them to be able to leave comments. Or maybe they can actually edit the document and upload a new version, right? So you're giving much deeper control while reducing the risk to the firms at the same time about, sending out those attachments.
I have to say, like, a lot of people are afraid of snakes, but reply all is like my biggest fear. I'm always like, I'm going to be talking smack about somebody and inadvertently add them to this email. So I always check like 8 times before I send an email, just to make sure it's going to the right recipients.
And so it's interesting as we've started to move into new kind of messaging scenarios. So people are starting to text or use different messaging applications. That's a critical way that you can actually, if the application is done right, it can help you avoid those types of scenarios because it, you know, you're much more aware of who is involved in that conversation. You can control it a little bit better. And again, if you tie that in to your digital workspace, now it's part of the record of the matter, basically.
Right. And in a law firm, there's actual real stakes, not like just me being a dink to somebody. So I'm glad you were able to segue off of that. So let's get to like the nitty gritty question that most lawyers have, right? And you touched on this a little bit, like the ability to segregate conversations just to people who should have access to those conversations. But one of the biggest triggers for lawyers in terms of like accessing new technology is like this question of whether or not it's secure and operating in a space that they're not as comfortable with. So I think lawyers have some semblance of knowledge about what is secure technology and what isn't, but then vetting it becomes difficult. There's a lack of control in some ways there because lawyers like doing things that lawyers do, which is not necessarily vetting technology. So How can lawyers access all the benefits we talked about, but still feel like the digital workspace is a safe space for them and their firms?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of vetting of making sure that the tools that you bring into your firm are, you know, ones that understand the industry, ones that are aligned with the goals of your firm, and that, you know, ultimately bring you not only efficiencies, but those that security piece. Because a lot of times it goes, you know, it goes to what you're saying. It's this peace of mind aspect that you know, clients come to you, they have expectations that you know what you're doing in this space. And so if you can find a trusted vendor and ultimately implement a solution that aligns with your firm's, you know, workflow strategies, you're going to be in a much better place, not only today, but later down the road when, you know, you're having to pull together a file for litigation or export it out, or a partner's leaving and you're sending some files with them. You know, now you're in a much better place to do that. You're not kind of scrambling to collect all this information.
No, I think that's a great point you make as well. I think like it's vetting this stuff is really hard. And then clients have this expectation that lawyers know what they're doing in the realm of security. And I think that's a very uncomfortable position for lawyers to be. And also you've got studies coming out now that are essentially saying that lawyers and clients have like a wide gulf in terms of expectations of what they want out of technology systems.
Definitely.
All righty. I think this is a good stopping point. We've come to our final break. We're here already. So while you listen to words from our sponsors, I'm going to try to think about what Disney animated classics do not now have live action counterparts. Although my wife said that the new Aladdin movie was great. Let's take a quick break and hear some words from our sponsors. If you're missing calls, appointments, and potential clients, it's time to work with Nexa Professional. More than just an answering service, Nexa's virtual receptionists are available 24/7 to schedule appointments, qualify leads, respond to emails, integrate with your firm's software, and much, much more. Nexa ensures your clients have the experience they deserve. Give them a call at 800-267-9371 or visit them at nexa.com/podcast for a very special offer. Imagine billing day being the happiest day of the month instead of the day you dread. Nobody went to law school because they love drafting invoices for clients. At TimeSolve, our attorneys save on average over 8 hours a month in billing work. That means more billable time and turning billing day into happy day. Learn more about how to get to your time and billing happy place at TimeSolve.com. That's www.TimeSolve.com. Remember, that's TimeSolve.com. Thanks for coming back once more. We're set to crush this final segment. So we're talking with Dan Houck of NetDocuments. We're back to it, speaking about digital workspaces. So let's find out more. We talked about this a little bit, but law firms suffer from siloed data traditionally. Like almost every law firm I talk to, I'm like, where are your documents? They're like, oh, they're in these 17 places, maybe 8 of which I can't get to. So can you sort of underscore this point a little bit where a digital workspace is going to allow you to more effectively aggregate and share data and potentially even collaborate on data than what most law firms are using now?
Definitely. So, I mean, there's really two pieces to that as I look at it. It's one is the cloud, which is this very powerful and enabling technology that allows users from all over the world to access securely and consistently, their digital workspace. And then the second is around APIs, which is really the language of integration, right? The applications that you bring into your firm should have strong and well-supported APIs, because that is ultimately what allows you to connect to all those other systems in a very easy and secure way. And so that means that even if there are limitations or things that you want to do that maybe fall outside the scope of the platform that you select or the digital workspace that you've generated, you can actually extend that workspace to these other solutions, typically through API integrations. And so it's a critical and powerful technology that we've seen in a lot of different areas, and law firms are beginning to take advantage now that many of them are, in fact, moving to the cloud.
Ooh, perfect segue. All right, so let's talk about some of these products and services that are out there that are supporting digital workspaces in law firms. And why don't you start with your own? Let's be fair about this.
Sure. I mean, NetDocuments is a fantastic cloud-based platform. We've been doing it for over 20 years. We really know, understand cloud. Our customers trust us to deliver a solution. But what's really interesting is over the past several years, we've built these real digital workspaces. We've integrated not only document management, but a lot of these type of collaboration tools that we're talking about, messaging with ND Thread, which is how I got to NetDocuments through the ThreadKM acquisition, collab spaces, which is where we can share documents, and also, you know, tasks and other things that are coming into the platform. But I think the important thing is that we also are a platform where we're reaching out to other vendors in this space so that they can then take advantage of the huge billions of documents that we store on our service. And we can, again, start to do some of that intelligence inside of our own platform. But, you know, there's a lot of different solutions that are out there. And I think being able to understand what that matter looks like, how the law firm structures the data so that they can secure it and process it appropriately, that's a key part of this.
So in terms of other products that are out there, do you have like a list of 5 or 10 you could tell folks about just so they get a sense of what they could utilize?
Well, sure. I think that there's a lot of different products that are in this space, from the practice management solutions. So ones mm-hmm. that really focus on, kind of the time and billing aspects of it. I think there's a number of solutions in that space from Clio to Practice Panther and Cosmolex and some others. And then there were some cool workflow solutions as well. So ones like Mercanix and DocMinder, ones that really take a look at what that life cycle of creating a document looks like and can make sure that you're tracking everything along the way. You're getting all of the different pieces to come together to get to the result that you're looking for. And then, from the AI space, I think there's a couple of great solutions, that we've looked at. Kira, obviously, I'm sure you've probably talked about that on the show before. Diligen, eBrevia, those are all solutions. And I think, again, what makes it powerful is when you can start to bring them together through the power of APIs.
And traditionally, law firms have been separated between small and large law firm camps. Like, oftentimes, they don't use the same software. Mm-hmm. Have you seen, with the rise of all this new technology, cloud-based digital workflows, integrations, that small and large law firms are starting to use some of the same technology? Do you think we're in the same space we were playing in before, where it's very much a dividing line?
Yeah, sure. I think, actually, the cloud is a great enabling tool to make this all happen. So you think about my company, ThreadKM, we started off using Amazon Web Services. And, some of the largest companies in the world also run on Amazon Web Services because it's so easy to get up and running, and you take advantage of the exact same technology that those major corporations get to use. So it's a huge benefit to smaller firms. We've seen a lot of that. NetDocuments, when you kind of run the gamut from the smallest to the largest in terms of firm size. And I think it's an important factor, because particularly with legal work, it's very similar, right? You work on matters, you develop documents, you deliver them to clients or to the court. And it's really just about the scale that you're operating on, and cloud can scale. And I think that's the key message there.
So I asked this question of most of my podcast guests, like a variation of this question, because it's hard for people to just jump into this world and start swimming, right? So if a law firm is interested in better leveraging digital workspaces and they haven't done it effectively to this point, like, what's the first step that they should take before they do anything else?
Sure. I think that they need to take an overall look at how work flows through their firm, right? They need to understand, how do we begin at the beginning when a client comes in the door? How do we move through, conflicts check? How do we get to the point where we start working on it? And then what do we start doing with those documents? How do we typically organize them? Because once you start to see those patterns, then you can kind of build or buy solutions that align with those patterns, right? And so you can start to build out templates inside of workspaces when you know this is the way that we always organize this type of file, for example, and ultimately get to a place where you're reducing risk, you're creating efficiencies, and ultimately that means more time being able to be spent on actual client service, which is revenue generating.
So you're doing something like an informal workflow audit, it sounds like, would be a good first step to take.
Right? Absolutely, definitely.
So I got one more question for you, and it's more of a statement. I have to say, congratulations to you, sir. I was looking for embarrassing information about you online, but I wasn't able to find any.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I don't have any embarrassing things, I guess.
At least not online. That's somewhere Mark Zuckerberg is shaking his fist at me right now, or in anger at a cloud. I did, however, find some photos of you rocking a very nice plaid shirt. So I don't know if people know this about me. I don't think I've ever declared this on the podcast before, but I love plaid shirts. Like, my wardrobe is basically like three plaid shirts that I really like. People tell me I'm like the Lamar Alexander of my local community. Lumberjacks ask me for fashion tips, and bagpipers are jealous of me. So, Dan, I want to give you a moment, because I couldn't find anything embarrassing about you, to talk about your love of plaid. And do you love plaid more than me is a real question.
Well, plaid goes with everything. It's never out of fashion. So it's a great pattern, and I recommend it to everyone.
All right, everybody, you heard it here first. What's your favorite plaid shirt currently? Like, what's the color scheme?
Probably green and black right now.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Good call. All right. So everybody, you want to hang out with me and Dan? Green and black plaid shirt is a uniform. So on that note, I really don't know how to segue out of that. We've reached another episode conclusion here at the Legal Toolkit Podcast, my personal favorite legal podcast. This was a podcast about digital workspaces for law firms, and we've been talking with Dan Hauck of Net Documents. Now, I'll be back on future shows with further insights to my soul, the soul of America, and the legal market, all while wearing a plaid shirt, which I'm actually doing right now. If you're feeling nostalgic for my dulcet tones, however, you can check out our entire show archive anytime you want at LegalTalkNetwork.com. So thanks again to Dan Hauck of Net Documents for making an appearance as my guest today. All right, Dan, can you tell everybody how they can find out more about you and about Net Documents?
Sure. You can check me out. As you said, I don't have a huge social profile, but you can check me out on LinkedIn. Say hello there. And of course, you can go to netdocuments.com to find out more about our solution and how we're trying to help lawyers and other professionals in this space with digital workspaces.
That's right. Do not even bother Googling this man. Go directly to netdocuments.com. Promise you, you'll find some good stuff. So thanks again to Dan Hauck of Net Documents. And finally, thanks to all of you out there for listening. This has been the Legal Toolkit Podcast, where we don't want to do your dirty work no more.
Thanks for listening to Legal Toolkit, produced by the broadcast professionals at Legal Talk Network. Join host Jared Correa for his next podcast covering the current business trends for law firms. If you'd like more information about today's show, please visit LegalTalkNetwork.com. Subscribe via iTunes and RSS. Find Legal Talk Network on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Or download the free app from Legal Talk Network in Google Play and iTunes. The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own and do not represent the views of, nor are they endorsed by, Legal Talk Network, its officers, directors, employees, agents, representatives, shareholders, and subsidiaries. None of the content should be considered legal advice. As always, consult a lawyer.
If you're a lawyer running a solo or small firm and you're looking for other lawyers to talk through issues you're currently facing in your practice, join the Unbillable Hours Community Roundtable, a free virtual event on the third Thursday of every month. Lawyers from all over the country come together and meet with me, lawyer and law firm management consultant Christopher T. Anderson, to discuss best practices on topics such as marketing, client acquisition, hiring and firing, and time management. The conversation is free to join, but requires a simple reservation. The link to RSVP can be found on the Unbillable Hour page at LegalTalkNetwork.com. We'll see you there.